Welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys podcast, episode 399. We're up to the final film of the Nolan Batman franchise. We're up to the Dark Knight Rises from 2012. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, how many times have you seen this in the theater?
Oh, I saw, Rises. How many times? It was more than once. I know that. This was the one that I did not go to the midnight screening for. I distinctly remember it sold out in like really fast. And this was before there was like unlimited plans. So you had to go to like Fandango and buy your ticket in advance. Sold out. I saw this first show on Friday morning in IMAX, big IMAX. And then I think I saw it two more times. I think I saw this one like three times at the theater. So I did go back. Full spoiler. I was a huge, huge fan of this movie when it came out. And this is my first time watching it in a while, but I liked this one more than a lot of other people seem to. So we'll see if it holds up. But I saw this one three times at the theater.
I did not see this one in the theater. It's funny because like back then I was very like, I hate Christian Bale Batman. I was like, I'm not going to sit through his voice for another 2 hours, 45 minutes. I was like, this shit ain't happening. Then I was like kind of annoyed it was Bane. I was like, man, out of all of these people, they picked Bane. So I didn't go. I didn't see it until the 4K came out. And I was just like, it's not as bad. I still prefer Begins. Dark Knight, I felt, was kind of two movies in one. So I was like, oh, I think Begins is the best one. So I haven't seen the joint in a long time. And let me just tell you, my mind has changed. After doing this rewatch, my mind has changed.
Excited
things that I never noticed before. I guess the older you are, you pay attention more.
It's a fact.
And I started, I was just like, wow, this is very interesting. We went down this route.
So this movie came out when I was 25. And now I'm watching it at 37. It's a different movie. So
tone themed. I was like, holy hell. But with that said, all right, let's go to some financials here, because what is interesting about these Batman movies, right? Batman was created here, right? In the United States of America. And the movie does not do as well domestically. When you look at these numbers, it's at $448 million, which is not bad. It's not
nothing
to sniff. It's nothing to sneeze at. Yeah, 448 is still a high number.
Yeah.
But what I mean is it doesn't crack the 500, 600, 700, 800, 900. Right? Like an Avatar movie, right? But international, this puppy just went $666 million. Now, the movie made worldwide $1.1 billion, which is, again, the second successful Batman movie behind The Dark Knight, right? Because Dark Knight was first.
Yeah.
On a budget of $250 million, which you do see the budget in this one.
They're laughing all the way to the bank.
Yes, yes, they did. Nolan was just like, wrote another hit. And
he said, we'll give you $250, and then they just said, ha, ha. Take it to the bank and it made over $1 billion. So
are you surprised by this? Even let's just do it this way.
Yeah.
Are you surprised by the domestic numbers compared to the international?
I'll be honest. I'm not okay. Because the first one, we talked about it. The first one, when it came out, was like the second highest grossing ever. It has since been passed by like a bunch of movies, but it was like 500 and something million. This one had no Joker. I think a lot of people were still, Heath Ledger had passed. I remember when it was made, there was some stuff around that, he passed, he was supposed to be in it. So they had to change a script. There's probably a little bit of that involved of like people being like, oh, I don't know. So, it still made a lot, but it did make less. That is a lot of money. And this was still before, you got to remember, this was before the huge comic book boom, right? Avengers came out later this same year, I think, 2012.
Yeah.
But before that, right, like Iron Man was 300 something million. Iron Man 2 was 300. They weren't making like 600 million all the time. So it was still early enough. But so I can't say I'm surprised. No, I'm not surprised.
Well, just to let you know, Batman Begins made $375 million. Domestic was $206 with international $168.
Yeah, look at that. Compared, this made more domestically than that did in the whole world.
Now, in Dark Knight, it made $534 domestic.
Right.
And it made $473 international for $1 billion. And then on the last one... So if you really look at it, I think there's a reason why there's always Joker and Batman, because people like Joker versus Batman. And again, I know a lot of people
especially do get tired of it.
Yeah. Here, I think Joker and Batman is the two main villains. And I think this is why I feel why The Dark Knight Rises didn't do as good in domestic, because I think you're right. I think people were like, well, the Heath Ledger Joker this storyline look like it fits that Joker more than what a Bane is. But we're going to talk about that in a few seconds on it. But all right, Nate, what did the critics and audience think about this movie?
They're very good. And I got to tell you, this got to be, again, one of the highest trilogies we've done. This is like Star Wars level. Freaking every one of them is. This one has the lowest critic score out of all three of them. And it's 87%. It's 87. Wow. That's the lowest. So that's a minus 7 from the last movie, which was at a 94. The audience score for the first two was 94. This one, it's a 90. So yeah, it has the lowest reviews of the three. And yet the lowest reviews are 87 and 90%. So it's, you know, it's pretty good.
It is good. You can't go wrong. If the critics are above 80 and the audience is above 90, then it's a successful movie, regardless of how you feel at the end of the day. It looked like the movie was well made. People enjoyed it, and it was rewatchable, right?
Yes.
All right. So before we get into this review, let's get right into the Bane, right? Because a lot of people don't know what Bane is about, what is his abilities, and I wanted to do this pretty quick. I mean, we all know what Joker was, right?
Yeah.
The mobster, got thrown in a pit of acid, became crazy, and became the villain of all villains. This is the attribute of Bane, okay? This is comic book, DC comic book powers.
Yeah.
Okay. And I always tell people, when you watch these superhero movies, read a little bit of what their powers is and then watch the movie and see if the writers kept the authenticity of the character in these movies.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you, after reading this, Christopher Nolan and Jonathan Nolan did a great job taking his strength and putting it into this movie. And I'll say kudos to them.
Yep.
But anyway, Bane is an international super criminal who uses his intellect and immersive strength enhanced by a drug called Venom, which in this movie, it's not no Venom drug. He has a breathing respirator.
Yeah, it has drug, but they don't go into the Venom thing.
No, they don't. They don't. In his furious and violent pursuit for power, he once set his sight on Gotham City, making him an enemy of Batman. So that is his powers, that is his mindset. And what I gotta say, when I was younger, before I said, I ain't watching Bane, Bane is this big dumbass that I kept comparing him Batman to the Batman Robin. Yeah, boom.
They ruined Bane. That's the problem.
They did. And I think it cemented in my mind going, this dude ain't no mastermind. He's like a dumbass. But no, Christopher Nolan, Jonathan Nolan did their research on the character, took what made him irrelevant into a real world situation and went, I think we got our villain that not many people would know, but could work for this storyline. And now we're going to tell you guys if it did. So starting off, lead character here returning. All right. We got Michael Caine as Alfred Pennyworth, which is not throughout the movie a lot.
Yeah.
He's here and there.
Yeah.
We got an aging Batman, which is Christian Bale, right? He's back as Bruce Wayne in The Dark Knight. Now I'll let you go with Selina Kyle because she is good and bad. So
she's a bad guy who ends up helping him.
Yeah. So but
we'll
she is.
We'll leave her in villain, everything. But we'll explain that part. I think she should stay in villains.
All right, so go ahead, take it away.
All right, you're right. We get Christian Bale with a cane. He's a crippled, from all his years of Batmaning. Makes sense. I gotta say, I think you will agree with this. Christopher Nolan, especially because it's his movies, his trilogy, these things are tight, dude. Especially watching them all together. Everything makes sense. Everything makes sense. Like how he is in the first movie to the second movie and how he is in the second movie to this movie, right? This movie opens with the Harvey Dent thing, with Gordon leaving a speech about how great Harvey Dent was. And you could tell that was right at the end of the first. And now we flash forward a few years, right? And he's living, he's like a recluse. He's rebuilt. Wayne Manor is now rebuilt. So he's not living in the high rise anymore. And he's a recluse. And he said he was going to be, right? Because he's basically a fugitive as Batman. And then as Bruce Wayne, he's jacked up. You do all this crime fighting and jumping off of buildings and falling off of... I love that they didn't just be like, no, he's like unkillable. He's a Superman. He can take off. No, he got to get this robot knee thing. I love that. That little machine that like helps his knee. His Stone Cold Steve Austin leg brace. I love all that. I love the return, he's like, damn. Gotta come out of retirement for this one. It's gotta happen. And I love the whole stuff with him and Alfred being like, no, man, you're gonna die because you can't do it anymore. He's like, I don't care. I'll die then. And I gave him a 5. I gave him a 5 in the first movie. I gave him a 5 in the second movie. This is a full arc. He gets a whole entire arc here. And I love at the end that he now he's really retired. He's like in Italy or whatever with a hot chick, drinking coffee, Alfred, the little nod, you know. I will say, though, we should add to Heroes 2 here is Joseph Gordon-Levitt as the police officer, because Gordon is back. I like the way they use him, where he's still an ally, but I like the scene where he's like, your hands look pretty dirty to me, because he went along with this whole lie, Harvey Dent being an amazing guy, when really he ended up being a murderer who's running around killing people. You know what I mean? Yeah. And these characters are complex. They're very well written. They're shades of gray. No one is like all good and all bad. He is. Gordon Levitt is. He's by the book cop. I liked him in this. You know, I think the Robin thing, I remember people being like, oh, his name is Robin. I don't care. It's not a big deal. You get the gist. And he eventually gets to the Batcave. I feel like he might become like a Nightwing version or something like that. You know what I mean? Like in this universe. So I loved it. I gave it a 5.
Yeah, no, I think he becomes Batman.
Or Batman, yeah.
Because you got to remember, there's no Robin. So he said anyone could wear the suit because he's a symbol. So I think he becomes the new Batman, which I think in the comics, I think he does put on the suit
when
Bruce Wayne was all sick and all that. But anyway, Christian Bale. All right, so look, I'm going to be really honest with you. If you would have asked me years ago, 2012, what would you give this, right?
2.
I would have gave it a freaking 3. I would have been like, you know what? This is stupid. Like, what are we going here, right? 42-year-old Alex, or 41, whatever. I got to say, I'm giving this a 5.
Ooh,
and okay. This is why. This is not a typical superhero movie. And this is, I mean, we're going to get into storyline and everything. But what I mean is, Christopher Nolan does something so unique that is not utilized in more films with superheroes. He took Batman and said, okay, we're going to make this mythological character that, you know, this guy could fight. He could jump off of 500-foot buildings, land on his feet, land inside of a car. You know what I mean? He could do all so much stuff. He could fight dudes that are super strength. He could fight 20 dudes. He could disarm people with like gadgets, super intelligence in the building. He knows what to do inside and out. And goes, how can we make this guy a real life character and bring a side of him that not many people know when you're reading the comics? See, the comic books are fantasy of a billionaire at night fighting crime with some lunatic, pretty much psycho people. But he went, how can we bring that and make it cinematic in a way that it's a real person? So when we're watching it, we go, shit, I can't be Batman because instinct takes a toll. Whereas if we read the comic books, I go, man, I could be Batman. I could lift up 500 pounds. Do it. By the time you hit 50, there's no way you could do this. And this movie is pure genius. And when I was watching it, I was like, man, I'm starting to now realize Bruce Wayne, this movie took 10 years after Dark Knight. What happened? So 10 years. Bruce Wayne looked like shit in the beginning. I mean, he would look aged. You could see the crease on his face because he was not nurtured. Like, he looked like he wasn't even eating much when he met Selina hobbling all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked all like he just didn't care about himself anymore. And you know, it looked like he wanted to continue being Batman, but he sacrificed himself for Harvey, you know? So I'm like, this is genius. And I agree with you. Like, this is a full arc of a superhero, right? You saw him in the beginning when he became the Dark Knight. He became in the middle. You saw him in his prime. We could say the prime.
Yeah,
he peaked Batman. And now you see him as aging Batman, Bruce Wayne. Whereas, where does Robin fit in all this? We didn't know until the end of the movie. They didn't give you the whole circus thing and Two-Face or whoever killed the parents during the thing and Batman felt bad and bring him in. No, this was a newer version of it.
They made him a cop, was Robin. Which was smart.
Yeah. He fought crime. He killed a guy with a gun and threw the gun because he was like, oh, hell no, I can't do this. Yeah. And then he quits the force and becomes Batman. So everything was there, spun in a modern take, in a realistic way, with the same characters that you fell in love with reading. So with that said, Alfred, this is my favorite version of Alfred in this universe of the Nolans, is this one. The other two, I was just like, okay. This is the one that I enjoyed, the bickering, telling him, I ain't doing this shit no more. Yeah. And I loved it because he was the father that he needed right now. And that was it. He goes, I can't watch you die. I'm going to do this one thing for you and I'm leaving to Italy. I'm done. I'm out. You know, I'm taking whatever. And he was so consumed with hatred and all this stuff, just like Batman, right? Because even in Ben Affleck was so pissed off at Superman, he wanted to fight him. Even Alfred was telling him in that movie, how are you going to fight someone that's indestructible, right?
Yeah.
But he was going to do it anyway. And it happened here too. And what did he say? Goodbye, Alfred. And I got emotional, bro. When he said that, did you get emotional? I mean, I know you're very cold.
I'm cold-hearted.
Yeah, so no, you're very cold-hearted. But did you, like, I felt
No, but you know what? I did feel, you know when I do, I not emotional, but like, it's like, dang, really good is when he, at the end, at the grave.
Oh, when he
tells
crying?
The parents that he failed them because he let, that part, I'm always like, ugh. And then I love that he gets his happiness at the end, right? He knows he's alive. He sees him. He's like, oh. He's alive.
Well, we'll talk about that.
Yeah. But I like that.
No, I see what you mean. Yeah. I agree. And I think in pure genius, I think in terms of the hero, his, you know, his father, whatever, Butler, pure genius. Written very well. Even when he meets Selina. We'll talk about that next. But yeah, five across the board.
And he gets his back broken in this movie, by the way. He gets beat. He does not dominate. He ends up winning, but he has to go through adversity, which is what I want in my superhero movies. I don't like too much dominance.
Well, it's something that you said. It's a full circle.
Yes.
Because it goes back to the first movie where his father goes, when you always fall down, you got to get right back up.
Yeah, I love that.
Right?
I love all that.
And that it's pretty much it. He has to go to build himself back up. And he did.
Love it.
He was, I mean, he thought he was still hot shit, but it was like, uh-uh.
Do it without the rope. The jump without the rope.
Dude. So, all right. So with that said.
Yeah, fine.
Let's get to main villain here. Okay, so now we got three villains. Well, actually, we got more than three. We got Selina Kyle, Catwoman. We got Bane.
Yep.
We got Talia al Ghul. Yep. And then we got the mobsters. And I'll just say
Daggett,
mobsters.
Daggett.
Yeah, John Daggett.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's start with the minor ones. First of all, let me just tell you, to your point about Christopher Nolan, every single person works. They all work. They all matter. They all fit. You got Daggett is a businessman. He basically wants to overthrow Bruce Wayne. And his way to do it is to hire a mercenary who, by the way, had his own plans. He didn't know that, but he hires him to do all this stuff. And I love Ben Mendelsohn. He's the guy who plays him. He was in Rogue One. He's been in a bunch of movies. Love that actor. Okay, great. My favorite scene with him, though, it has to be when he's talking with Bane and he's talking tough and Bane just puts his hand on his shoulder like this.
Yeah, he was
like,
that.
Do you feel like you're in control? And the guy's like, what's wrong with you, man? Like, it cracks me up every single time. So I like him. He's minor, but I like him. Talia, besides her death scene, which is the one of the worst dying scenes in all of movies. Marion Cotillard is an Oscar winner. She's a great actress. Gorgeous. I like the reveal because the whole movie, they make you think Bane is the son and it's actually a daughter and it's her. I kind of like that. And I'm cool with it. Like, I'm cool with it. And she doesn't feel like the most important. There's a bit, you know, Bane is kind of the titan of this movie. So, but that's her friend. They were in cahoots the whole time. You know, they used Daggett's money to get into where they needed to go and all this kind of stuff. Selina Kyle. First of all, I love Anne Hathaway. I always loved Anne Hathaway. I still love Anne Hathaway. And she is fine in this movie. And she is a great Selina Kyle. A great, not a good, a great Selina Kyle. I don't care. She has the, I love how she all of a sudden, like when she needs to, she puts on like she's scared. Like when the cops come, she's like, oh no, please help me. They're over there. And then she's just like gets up and leaves and is all slinky. And you know, oh my God, it's so good. Plus her Catwoman gear. Fantastic. I love. See, what Nolan did was he made it tactical. He's like, this is going to be stupid if we just have someone walking around with cat ears. So what do? We'll make them goggles. Then when she flips them up, it looks like cat ears. When she flips them down, they're tactical. Love it. So I love Selina Kyle in this. And I like, you know, we said we'll touch on it. She ends up helping Bruce Wayne. She, first of all, feeds him to the lions. Absolutely sets him up, right? Then she sees what Bane does and she's like, crap. I don't know why I teamed up with this guy. This dude is crazy. I need to not. She gets arrested. She ends up getting out when they free all the prisoners. And when he comes back, he goes to her and he's like, listen, I know at the end of the day, you got good in you. I got the clean slate thing. I'll help you if you help me. And she only does it for that. But you could tell there was in there, there was a little bit, you know what I mean? Like of she's not a horrible person. So I like that. And then Bane, listen, I have always loved this version of Bane. I remember when he came out, when the movie came out, everyone was like, I can't understand what he's saying. The dialogue. I will say this, this 4K, did you watch it on 4K?
Yeah.
The audio, they've changed the audio where you can understand everything.
Yes.
But I do remember at the theater, it was hard to understand what he was saying. The mix, the audio mix was different. and the background noise was so equally loud to him talking that it was sometimes muffled. So it's super clear. I love the accent. I don't know what that is. I don't know where that's from. I know Bane speaks Spanish in the comic books. Like he actually speaks Spanish, but whatever it is, it works. Tom Hardy got absolutely buff for this role. He's not shredded. He's like beefy. He looks like a pit bull, right? Like big and stocky. Love it. He fights. This is what I want in a Batman villain. He's got the brains and the brawn. The fight with him and Batman in the waterfall. Everything he says, and by the way, everything Bane says in this movie is gold. Like, his lines are so good. He's like, oh, you turn off the lights. You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it. This is not, you're not gonna do your tricks on me, ain't gonna work. Freaking beats him up. So I love it. My favorite line, I told someone the other night, my favorite line that he says that was right before he dies is when he tells him, she tells him, don't kill him. I want him to feel the fire. And then right when she leaves, he tells Batman, you're gonna have to imagine the fire. Because I'm going to kill you. You're going to have to imagine it. It's a great line. I love him. I gave it a 5.
He tells now we're going to finish our fight.
He's like, I have to kill you, right? Like, you're just going to have to imagine the fire. It's so good. Give the whole, him alone would get a 5, but I think everyone works.
Okay, so I'll do this way. I'll do it the same way you did, right? I'll go with the Talia al Ghul. I thought it worked. I thought it was pretty cool. I love that, you know, I thought they were going to hint at Damian Wayne because they slept together. So I thought they were going to do something that she was like pregnant or something, but no, that didn't happen. But I thought that worked well because we all knew they get together, but he just didn't know who she was. So I was like, okay, cool. Selena, oh man, I don't know what to tell you. And Hathaway is just so gorgeous. Jeez. And, you know, to be honest with you, they could just do a Catwoman movie just with her. I mean, she could lead a whole movie by herself anyway. I like that Catwoman. She was kind of lesbian, right? I don't know if she was a lesbian. I don't know what the other girl was, but it kind of hinted at she was like between.
She'll get with who she needs to get with to get what she wants.
But I loved it, though. I thought that was pretty cool. The interaction with her and Bruce Wayne is like spot on to the comics, the way they were acting. I thought it was great. Bane, it's a weird thing now rewatching it because I was like, man, I think it was perfect. I thought it was really good. I agree with you. At first, the voice was not good. When I first saw it, I was just like, what is he like? Oh, Mr. R. And I was like, what is you saying? So, but they did clean it up when I watched it last night. I was like, oh, damn, I could hear him clear as day. And I thought everything he said was so poetic. I mean, it was genius. He was from the League of Assassins. Ra's al Ghul taught him. Batman. So it's kind of the same. I will say this. The fight between them two was kind of whack. I'll say it is an aging Batman versus faster, stronger brawler in terms of Bane. But again, I'll talk about it in action. But I wasn't too thrilled with those fights. I do agree with you. In the sewer was very well done.
Yeah.
But when they were outside, I was not. It was
second fight.
Yeah. When they go when they're in City Hall.
In the snow.
Yes. That we'll talk about. But I thought that was good. Yeah, Bane, I thought everything was cool. I love when he's standing there and the kid is singing. He goes, wow, he has a lovely voice.
I love that part too. What a lovely voice. He's going to freaking blow up the place.
Yeah. And he waited for the kid to finish singing.
Yeah.
What a lovely voice. And I thought that was funny. I do agree with you, the scene with he tells him like, oh, so you give me power. I mean, money. And you think you have a hold of me.
You have power over me? And the guy's like, what's wrong with you, man?
And all you hear is like his nose or something happened.
He broke his neck or something. I don't know what happened. I don't want to know.
We didn't talk about Scarecrow.
Comes back to just be a cameo. He's a judge in the underground court.
I thought it fit very well for that. But all the villains worked very well. I thought it worked. Even the mercenaries, I thought it worked very well. All right, so 5 across the board there. Okay, action scenes.
All right, this always comes the hardest part of this review because, you know, I love the action scenes in these movies, but they're more story driven movies. Okay, top moments here. I love when he first comes back. He's on the bat pod and he's going through and it's all dark. And then I love when the cops are like, oh, you're in for a show tonight. He's like, you know, you're going to see something crazy. By the way, the opening scene where they blow up that plane in the air, they really did that. So,
they did?
Yes, they did.
Oh, wow.
They did. Okay. That's why it doesn't look CGI, because it's real. If you notice, they're flying over like nothing. it just looks like a wilderness or like just grass below, because obviously they're going to knock stuff's going to be falling. But yeah, they blew the plane, the wings off of that other plane. It was like an old plane anyway. So that whole scene was done practical and it looks incredible because of it. Also, tons shot in IMAX here again. They look amazing, but that opening scene is great. Then you have the fight in the sewer. I love it. I agree. It's not like the most, it's not like super long, but I love the dialogue between them, and I love that there's no music. They're just fighting. You just hear all the hits and the punches and Bane telling him like every single thing he does is like, that ain't gonna work. That ain't gonna work. That ain't gonna work. That ain't gonna work. And then he breaks his back, which is an iconic comic book, you know, like scene. So Nolan, he snuck these things in where he could, where he's like, you know what? Yeah, it's more real world, but let's stick in some comic book references that the Batman fans will get. So you have that fight. You do have the Catwoman and Batman fight on the roof. Pretty short, but pretty cool at night when all the guys are going there doing the martial arts.
Oh, like, yeah.
No guns. And she's like, there's no fun. Like, I want to shoot them. So that was cool. You have the, but again, his intro scene on the bat, I love it. It's all dark. He's going. And then he does the thing with the tires and they roll. Looks awesome. Then he comes out with the bat wing. And that was a moment I remember at the theater where people were like, oh, shoot. Like, he just comes flying out. So there's a lot. Then you do have like the later on scene where they fight again and the escape scene. I still gave it a 4 because there's, as good as it is and as well as it's shot, it's still not like, there's nothing in here that's insane. There's no moment where it's like, oh my gosh, mind blowing. It's more like, dang, that was good and that was good. I wish it was longer. I wish it was a little bit more. So yeah, the second fight, I'll agree with you. It's not over. I wish it was better, but I will say I love the beginning of it. It's like a wrestling match, like a WWE. Like Bane sees him and Batman is working his way through and they see each other. He's like, we're going to fight again. And Bane's like, bro, I broke your back. And Batman's like, I don't care. I'm going to fight you. I love that moment. I also like when Bane is punching that pillar and it's just breaking. Like, you see how strong he is. Yeah. But the fight overall, I agree with you. Not the best. So I gave it a 4.
Yeah, I, you know, everything you said, I agree. I think this, again, I said it throughout this whole entire trilogy. Nolan is not best known for action. He's not. He could set it up very well. And I think it looks very well. Yeah. But the execution, I mean, there was a lot of scenes that I would have been like, let's just do it again and figure this part out. But I do agree with you. I feel like the first time he fights Bane, it's a good fight. When Selina Kyle does her stuff, amazing. I was like, oh, it looks just like Catwoman. Cool. When they fight in the roof, cool. When they go to the streets and there's all the police versus the mercenaries and all that, that looks horrible. And it looks horrible now when you rewatch it. I was just like, this don't look good. It looks, there's some dudes in the corner you can see that they're not even hitting each other. Like, it's just weird. And then when Batman fights Bane again, I didn't like the fight. It was just more punching. He didn't do more martial arts where, you know, try to kick or nothing. It was just more punch. But then again, age, he's old, his body's all beat up. So I kind of understand now watching it again why he didn't go to most of the martial arts. But I don't know. I just felt like it wasn't as cinematic as you wanted it to be, right? Him using the gadgets again where he said, oh, you know, he knows the tactics, but he could have did something different, like a flashbang or something. But it's cool. He knocked the respirator out. You know, all that stuff. They finished the fight. Talia al Ghul. Now, this is the movie where a lot of people go, oh, you know, Christian Bale doesn't kill. He does kill because he kills Talia al Ghul.
Yeah, literally, he causes that thing to freaking crash off the thing. And she dies. Yeah.
Yeah, she dies. He kills mad people. But
he killed her and her dad. Dang. He killed that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He ended the tree. The al Ghul tree. But yeah, so like, to be honest with you, he does kill. But again, it doesn't bother me. I don't care. It proved the point, and that was cool. What was crazy though is Jim Gordon was in the damn truck when all that happened.
I always forget that he's in there until the end when the door opens and he like he rolls out of it. Like, yeah. Damn, he went on a ride.
Yeah, so I was just like, holy hell. Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was, at the end of the day, I forgot to mention,
I do like that part where they're shooting like rockets at the Batwing and it's like flying around up above the roof, and then Catwoman's chasing on the motorcycle. Like, that scene is good. It's well executed, but yeah, I still think it's a 4.
Yeah, no, I agree. The Batwing, I don't like the design. I'm very sucker for the classic look with the wings.
Yeah.
This one, I know he was trying, because I mean, to be really honest with you, you can't do that in New York, and they filmed in New York, so there's no way you could have that wing in between buildings. So I kind of understand why they did the bat. They could go between the buildings.
Yeah, they made it where it can fly within buildings.
So it kind of worked. And I kind of liked it though. I thought I didn't like it before. For this thing, I was like, okay, it kind of worked. But I'm a sucker for original
the
wings.
The one that looks like a bat.
Yeah, the one that looks like a bat. Yeah. Makes it obvious who he is. Like, okay, great. This is a freaking bat. Okay, so we gave it 4 there. Okay, storyline.
5. I love this. I love this movie. I still love it. It holds up. I was worried. I was like, dang, I remember really loving this movie and now I'm going to rewatch it and I have to watch it for this podcast and all of a sudden I'm going to be like nitpicking. I have no nitpicks. I love it. I think the storyline is great. Again, I love the arc of Batman being old, being retired, then coming out of retirement, then getting destroyed by Bane, and then having to build himself back up one last time to get rid of this guy, right? I love that Gotham gets absolutely owned in this movie. It gets taken over by mercenaries. They free the prison. It's like a war zone there, you know? The military can't really do anything because they threaten to blow up a nuclear bomb in the city. Like, okay, if you send anybody in here, we're going to blow it up. If you let anybody escape, we're going to blow it up. I love the whole, they took the whole entire city hostage. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that is great. I love the villain elements. Again, all the characters fit. They work. They make sense. Every single thing makes sense. From Selina meeting that congressman guy at the party, to using him to get information, to then use him at the bar, to then get to frame the other people because he's a... every single thing makes sense to me. I just think it's extremely well written. It is a bit long, which I'll factor that more into the overall, but I think everything works on a story level. And I love that Batman, in this one, he sails off into the sunset. This is a complete 3-movie arc that he had, and I love it. I give it a 5.
Okay, so normally I would have been like, man, I don't know. But I agree. I'm giving it a 5. I thought it's a very well-told story. Now, in terms of the ending, right? I personally believe he died. And I think Alfred had just imagined him there with Selina. That is my me. I don't know. I mean, everyone else can have their interpretation. But I mean, I know they did say that he flew he fixed the autopilot 6 months ago. Like, I get it. But I personally feel like it could go either way. You could personally believe that Alfred saw happiness seeing him there. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I mean, it could go either way. But I do like that ending a lot. He's a human back. He's not rich no more. Yeah. I bet he's a billionaire. Yeah, I bet they fixed that.
He still got
some
nest eggs somewhere.
Yeah, he still has that stuff. So I personally believe that that ending is really well done. I think throughout the whole movie, I think everything worked. Even Lucius Fox had a great role in this movie. I thought he was good. The funniest part though in this movie with Lucius Fox is when the dam breaks and he's trying to run up and there's something always wrong with Morgan Freeman's hand and you see him holding on and I'm like, man, it's like his arm is a prosthetic. Like, it just didn't look like it was working well. So I thought it was kind of funny. But yeah, other than that, great story. All the characters flowed very well. Bane was really menacing in this one. Batman was old. You got to see what an aging Batman would look like in a real world scenario. Now all the Batmans are now back to comic book level.
Yeah.
This one was like the only realistic version. So I agree. 5 on that overall.
All right. So I still love this movie. I still like it better than Batman Begins. Personally, I don't argue with people about these movies. I refuse because I think if anyone came up to me and told me Batman Begins is my favorite and the best one, I would understand. And if anyone says The Dark Knight is the best one, which I think it is the best one, I'd understand. And if someone said this one was the best one, I would understand. To me, this is the second best one. I think it's such a culmination of a lot of stuff that happened in the prior movies. And now rewatching them, I feel like it even solidified that I like this one better than Begins personally. As good as that movie is, this one just feels bigger. It just feels more. There's a lot of weight to everything that happens in it. And plus, you've already spent 2 movies and like 5 hours with these characters. You know what I mean? Everything is tied together perfectly. My only gripe, and the only reason I don't give it a 5, is it is a little too long. There's a lot of moments where you're watching and you're like, okay, this could have been trimmed or taken out. This could have been trimmed. And that's not a knock on the story. I still think the story is perfectly told. It's almost like there's too much detail, right? Like they did it so good that they almost put too much in and they could have just trimmed a little bit. Also, oh, by the way, forgot to say, because this goes in the overall, the score in this movie, I absolutely love the music in this movie. Hans Zimmer knocks it out the park. A lot of drums. I have one of them on my Apple Music. There's a track, the one at the beginning when they're blowing up the plane. I absolutely love that track. It's just like drums, boom, 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 like a lot of drums. Fantastic. Great score. Great cinematography. I do give it a 4.5. Half out of 5. I do take off a half point because if this thing was like maybe 15 minutes shorter, I think it would be perfect 5 out of 5. So I gave it a 4.5.
Yeah, I gave it a 4. I don't think it's a perfect movie. It's funny because Dark Knight, I think I gave it a 5. I believe I did.
You did. Let me look.
Yeah. I did, right? Yeah. I think I gave it a 5. Yeah, I did. But I like this one better. Now watching it, right? I think this one's way better than Dark Knight. And I do understand people are going to talk about the Heath Ledger performance because that's what everyone talks about. And I know everyone likes the Two-Face, which I still believe he should have just been alive. But that's just me. I like this one way better. I feel like it was more destruction. There was more high stakes in Gotham City, right? When he goes, you guys are now in martial law. Go home. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, okay, cool. He gave him martial law. So like, I feel like everything in a package, to me, this is what I wanted in a Batman movie, where I wanted him in the prime version fighting Bane. But I thought this was a great way to end the entire franchise. Like, you can't do a 4. There's no way I can see them going, oh, we're going to do a part 4 with Nolan and Christopher Nolan. I mean, with Christian Bale. Like, they're going to have to do another movie that fit younger in the prime years.
They'd have to do the Dark Knight Returns storyline. And he'd have to have Superman in it. It's the only way, because by this point, he should be super old. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. Yeah. So it'll be like a prime version, like even slotted between Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises. But no, I agree. I gave it a 4 on that. Okay, total points.
Total points for me is a 23.5 out of 25. Great movie. Loved it. Loved rewatching it. Don't regret it. Still love it.
Yeah, mine's is a 23 out of a 25. I think this is a perfect ending to a trilogy, to a superhero trilogy, especially taking chances on making it into a real life scenario. So yeah, 23 out of a 25. All right, Nate, what's coming up next?
All right, next up, we are continuing on with our war movies, or, you know, military-based action films, with a movie from this year. So we don't always get new movies on here, but this is a 2024 movie. It's called Land of Bad, starring Liam Hemsworth and Russell Crowe. We're going to be reviewing that one. And then, guess what? We're done with this franchise. It was only 3 movies. And we're moving on to another shorter franchise, which I'm excited about. We're going to get in and get out. We're doing some Mortal Kombat. We're doing some Mortal Kombat from the 90s. We're going to be doing the Paul W.S. Anderson Mortal Kombat. Then we will be doing the sequel, one of the widely considered one of the worst movies of all time, Mortal Kombat Annihilation. And then we will be doing the reboot, remake, reimagining, the new one from 2021, Mortal Kombat. So 3 movies, the 2 original, and then the remake. And that's what we got coming up as far as our next franchise.
All right. There you guys have it. You guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything AMG podcast, you guys can head over to youtube.com/actionmovieguys. Subscribe, leave comments down below. We will answer those. And of course, for Geeks and Flicks, you guys can head over to our TikTok at Geeks, letter N, and then Flicks. Other than that, I'm your host, Saz Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.